Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. So where is Edward Snowden, the former NSA contractor who leaked information about the agency's extensive phone and internet surveillance, was supposed to board a plane from Moscow to Cuba today on his way to Ecuador, where he's asked for asylum. But Snowden was reportedly not on that plane to Cuba. In fact, AP journalist Max Seaton tweeted a picture of Snowden's empty seat. We retweeted it. You can see that at Here Now, Robin. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, who is himself avoiding prosecution, living in Ecuador's embassy in London, told reporters on the telephone this morning that Ecuador gave Snowden documents of passage. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said it would be deeply troubling if Russia or Hong Kong knew about Snowden's plans and didn't stop him. But critics of the U.S. are saying the U.S. didn't do what it could have to stop him. Joining us from London is Edward Lucas, international editor of The Economist magazine. Edward, start with the flight to Cuba. The reporters went, Snowden didn't. Do you agree with some people who are saying that was just a ruse to get the reporters, to throw them off the scent?
Well, whether it was a ruse or just a mistake, either way, it was highly amusing. And it was like something out of one of the great classics of journalistic fiction. You had half the Moscow press corps having fought like crazy to get onto this, perhaps not always very heavily used, Aeroflot plane to Cuba, and waiting there. And then Mr. Snowden's nowhere to be seen, and the plane takes off, and they're all going to get a rather short, I suspect, holiday in Cuba on a plane that doesn't serve any alcohol, quite unusually for a long-haul Russian flight. Of course, it's not absolutely clear he's not on the plane. There was some suggestion that he might be in the crew area or possibly in the first-class cabin when the, although he'd also booked a ticket in economy. But Russian sources have been saying he's not on the plane and that when he leaves Russia, he will do so in a way that can't be observed by journalists. So I think we probably have to put this one down to journalistic experience.
Well, but just talk about some of the players so far in this. Russia, potentially Cuba, on his way to Ecuador, potentially. But start with Russia and Cuba. These are two countries that aren't exactly about internet freedom, which is what Edward Snowden now is standing for. What's going on here?
You're absolutely right to put your finger on this. And the great paradox is that someone who was so fed up with the way the American intelligence and security agencies worked that he became a whistleblower is now in the hands of countries which are far more repressive than even he would characterize the United States as being. Started off in Hong Kong, which is, although an independent legal system, at least not completely part of the one-party communist Chinese state. But then he goes to Russia, where you have journalists being murdered, you have very heavy restrictions on freedom of speech and freedom of assembly, and a country that's actually really run by the security services. On his way to Cuba, which is even more repressive and doesn't even have the rather limited press freedoms that Russia has, possibly then going on to Ecuador, which has just been slammed again in a report today about its very severe human rights abuses. I just wonder if he's scratching his head and wondering, what have I got myself into here?
Well, again, we don't know. We don't know if any of this is true because there were earlier reports that there was a private plane standing by to take him to Iceland. But stay for a second with the criticism from the Obama administration, from Secretary of State John Kerry, because there are those critical of the U.S. saying, why didn't the U.S. more quickly revoke Snowden's passport? They only did it on Saturday. Or ask Interpol to issue a red notice to arrest him. Yeah,
there's a rather plaintive sort of Keystone Cops air to all this. Not immediately to suspend his passport, which would have made it difficult for any reputable airline to carry him, not to issue every possible sort of extradition notice. There was an approach made to the Hong Kong authorities, but he wasn't put on the Interpol wanted list, which again would have made it hard for him to leave Hong Kong. And then this very plaintive approach to Russia, with Secretary Kerry saying, we'd be very disappointed if Russia doesn't do what the United States wants, and if you don't do it, well, we'll be very sad. And it doesn't sound like a superpower talking. They seem to have been on the back foot at every stage.
Edward, what do you make of the news that Julian Assange, who has, you know, been speaking today, says that Ecuador actually gave Edward Snowden a document of passage, and that's how he got from Hong Kong to Russia, his passport being revoked by the U.S. on Saturday. He traveled on Sunday, allegedly. And that's how he might travel from there. Do you know what this means, a document of passage?
Well, governments are able to give passports that don't actually give the holder citizenship, but are just means of travelling. It's typically given to people who've got asylum in a country, haven't become citizens, but still need to be able to identify themselves and travel around. It wouldn't explain why America didn't put out an Interpol red notice, which would be should be enough to stop them leaving Hong Kong under any kind of passport.
Well, it also raises questions about what exactly it is that he's doing, because it's hard to believe that in Hong Kong, Edward Snowden, who looks distinctively like Edward Snowden, walked through an airport and got on a plane. Why wouldn't private planes be used, especially since the WikiLeaks founder, Julian Assange, and other WikiLeaks supporters are said to be involved? Why is he walking through airports and getting on planes?
Well, of course, the sort of way that people like you and me go through airports, Robin, is not always the way that VIPs go through airports, and it may well be that a car with tinted windows took him from wherever his hideout in Hong Kong was and whisked him in through a VIP entrance of the airport. And it may be that he didn't have it's an interesting question whether he's got the money to pay for a really elaborate escape and evasion. And I have to say also, I think the way he's handling this publicly doesn't look that great. I think it would be much more effective if he'd let the information come out rather slowly and perhaps not outed himself personally, kept it not about his own personality. He seems to me to be in danger of turning into another Julian Assange with the slightly sort of narcissistic, self-indulgent air that surrounds that. Some people think that he may turn out to be rather like the Agee and Hosenball whistleblowers from the CIA in the 70s, and Mark Hosenball and Philip Agee, who were portrayed as whistleblowers who were unhappy with the CIA's activities but turned out in the end, at least in one case, to be closely connected with the Cuban government. So I think there's some suspicion that maybe this is all part of some clever plot. I have to say, I don't really believe this. It all looks so amateurish and half-hearted. And has an air of a Hollywood, sort of failed Hollywood thriller, which I think may have difficulty in keeping people's attention now.
Edward Lucas, international editor of The Economist. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Okay, we'll take a break, come back with the latest news, and then later in the program, we'll speak to the BBC reporter who spoke to the mother of Boston Marathon bombing suspects. That's in a couple of minutes. Here and now.